This is the probable cause hearing of complaint number 20-054, N. Ray Melissa Holland. Is either the respondent or the complainant or their counsel in attendance?
Mark Herron on behalf of Melissa Holland is here. Brennan Dotley is here as well from my firm.
Okay. Is the complainant present?
Jay Barlow.
Okay. Thank you so much. Please note that this hearing is confidential and exempt from open meetings laws pursuant to section 1112.324 Florida statutes. Therefore, no video, audio recording, or other recording of this hearing or any portion of this hearing by attendees is permitted. The probable cause determination is the conclusion of the preliminary investigation. The respondent and the advocate are permitted to make brief statements in the nature of oral argument to the commission based on the investigator's report, the advocate's recommendation, the complaint and staff recommendations, as well as any written statements submitted by the respondent. No testimony or other evidence will be accepted at the hearing. Each party will have 10 minutes. The commission advocate will present the probable cause recommendation first, then we will hear from the respondent. If the advocate reserves time for rebuttal, rebuttal will be allowed. Ms. Hadley, you are recognized.
May I reserve my remaining time for rebuttal?
You may.
In November 2016, respondent was elected mayor of Palm Coast and was subsequently reelected in 2020. In June 2017, respondent was hired and appointed as director of business development with Coastal Cloud LLC, a technology-based company located in Palm Coast. Coastal Cloud is a platinum partner of Salesforce.com Incorporated, which is an IT company. Respondent worked with the company's public sector team as a subject matter expert in understanding the business processes, the Salesforce platform. Most importantly, she works with identifying and pursuing sales opportunities with new customers and solving problems within state and local governments. Coastal Cloud owner is Tim Hale. He advised that Coastal Cloud has not received any revenue from Salesforce as a platinum partner, but instead Coastal Cloud pays Salesforce to be a platinum partner. He advised that Salesforce customers contact Coastal Cloud for assistance. The customers enter into a consulting agreement, which is different from a software agreement with Salesforce. On September 8, 2018, Coastal Cloud entered into a pro bono contract titled Innovation Partnership Agreement with the City of Palm Coast. Former City Chief Innovation Officer Don Cooley advised that there was a license fee paid directly to Salesforce, but that the consulting component from Coastal Cloud was at no charge to the city. Former Councilmember Robert Culp advised that Coastal Cloud's benefit from the Innovation Partnership Agreement was adding the success of the Palm Coast Connect, which is the program that Coastal Cloud and the city were involved in, that the success of that Palm Coast Connect to his corporate resume was a benefit to Coastal Cloud. Mr. Hale, who's the owner, confirmed by advising that that agreement allowed Coastal Cloud the ability to earn a governmental reference, which allowed the company to market and attract other forms of government in various business settings. There are 7 allegations. In allegation 1, respondents alleged to violate section 112.313.3 by doing business with her agency, the City of Palm Coast, regarding a contract with her employer. There are 2 analyses. Neither indicates a violation of the statute, as respondent was not involved with the purchase and or selling of goods and or services between the city and Coastal Cloud if it occurred. I recommend no probable cause. Allegation 2, respondents alleged to have violated section 112.313.6 by using her public position and or public resources to benefit herself and or her employer regarding emails sent to the City of Orlando. On June 29, 2018, respondents sent an email from her city email account, which is mholland@palmcoastgov.com, to Sherry Gutch, the business development division manager for the City of Orlando. Respondent asked for Gutch to put her in contact with the city's CIO, noting that the respondent is a director of a technology firm that consults with the public sector for Salesforce platform, and she would like to have a conversation with the city's CIO. She signed the email, Melissa Holland, Mayor, and has the address and the phone number for Palm Coast City Hall. On February 1st, she sent another email from her city email account to the director of technology for the city of Orlando, wanting to request a date to talk about what Coastal Cloud could do for the city of Orlando, again, signing as the mayor of Palm Coast. Also on February 1st, she sent an email from her same city email account to Matt Ruffman, noting that she learned that from the director of IT that he's the chief innovation officer for the city of Orlando, and asked that he call her to set up a call with her as their conversations aligned well with the initiatives. Again, she signed as the mayor of the city of Palm Coast. The city attorney determined that these emails were personal in nature, that's not a public record, even though they were sent from the respondent's city email account. He advised that the respondent was attempting to acquire business for her private employer and not the city of Palm Coast in those emails. Respondent was a public official who used her public position by invoking her position in the email and or public resources when she used her public email account to contact the city of Orlando on a matter that affected her private interests. Per the city's policy, its email is, quote, is reserved for the conduct of city business, end quote, and, quote, may not be used for chain letters to solicit to or proselytize outside organizations or other non-job related solicitations, end quote. In this case, respondents should have equally known that sending emails soliciting business for her employer was inconsistent with the proper performance of her public office. In addition, as evidence reflects, Coastal Cloud was seeking to add more governmental entities to its corporate resume. Respondents' efforts to reach out to the city of Orlando was a boost to Coastal Cloud's corporate resume. And as noted in Allegation 1, one of respondents' responsibilities was pursuing sales opportunities with new customers. If respondent was successful, it was sure to benefit her employment relationship with Coastal Cloud. I recommend the finding of probable cause. In Allegation 3, there were other emails sent to other council members. However, it appears that she is not the one who sent those emails out. It was the Coastal Cloud's marketing team. As such, I recommend a finding of no probable cause in Allegation 3. In Allegation 4, respondent is alleged to misuse her position to influence the city of Palm Coast actions regarding a technology study. The evidence shows that she was not involved with that issue, and there's insufficient evidence to reflect how respondent may have used her position in this allegation. I recommend finding no probable cause. Allegation 5, respondent is alleged to be doing business with her agency regarding an event sponsorship from her employer. Again, the city attorney confirmed that the city did not pay Coastal Cloud, and as such, respondent was not involved in the purchase and or selling of goods or services between the city and Coastal Cloud. I recommend a finding of no probable cause. In Allegation 6, respondent is alleged to have violated Section 112.3137 by having conflicting employment, which created a conflict with her private interest. In this, Section 112.3137 is intended to prevent situations in which private considerations may override the faithful discharge of public responsibilities. A primary objective of the Code of Ethics is that government officials avoid situations in which there is temptation to place personal gain, economic or otherwise, above the discharge of one's fiduciary duty to the public. During the relevant time period, respondent had an employment contract with Coastal Cloud. As reflected through the circumstances in Allegations 1 through 5, respondent's employment relationship, as stated and noted in my written recommendation, her private interests had the ability to create a continuing conflict with her public duties and or impede the full and faithful discharge of her public duties. While some of her actions did not rise to the level of misuse of office, it's obvious that temptation was present to influence matters to benefit Coastal Cloud. I recommend finding a probable cause. And lastly, in Allegation 7, respondent was alleged to misuse her position to write letters of recommendation for her employer's daughter. In this case, it's common practice for the mayor's office to write letters of recommendation. There is no suggestion of any quid pro quo in exchange for the letters of support. Therefore, I recommend a finding of no cause.
Thank you. Are there questions for the advocate? Any questions? Commissioner Carvajal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm looking in particular at allegation six, and as I read the law, it says a business entity or agency that is subject to regulation or doing business with. Is your contention that they were doing business with Coastal Cloud?
In allegation six, that's regarding section 112.3.137. There are two analyses for that particular section. So while I believe I put in a footnote that I was not rejecting a violation under the first analysis, I don't have information for that. I'm looking more so at the second analysis, which is one, respondent must be a public officer or employee. Two, respondent must have had an employment or contract relationship that will either create a continuing or frequently recurring conflict between her private interests and public duties, or impede the full and faithful discharge of respondent's public duties. That's the one that I'm doing an analysis on currently.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for the advocate? Thank you. You reserved your time?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Heron, for the respondent.
I'm Mark Heron on behalf of Melissa Holland. Following an investigation, the allegations which were deemed to be legally sufficient, the advocate recommended that the commission find no probable cause with respect to five of the seven allegations and probable cause with respect to two of the seven allegations. I am going to focus on those two, but I will answer any questions with respect to the others. In this case, I did do something that I don't do in a lot of cases, and you may have noticed that in your materials related to this case. You have like a 290-page so response to the report of investigation. Because the report of investigation, in our view, failed to bring up pertinent points that are applicable to all the allegations, and we put some of those in our response to the advocate's recommendation, even when she recommended no probable cause. But I'm going to focus on allegation two and allegation six. The advocate recommended that the commission find there's probable cause to believe that the respondent violated section 112.3.136 by using the public resources and her position benefit herself or another by sending some emails. Ms. Holland requests that the commission reject the advocate's recommendation, and here's the reason why. During the course of the investigation, Ms. Holland acknowledged that emails were exchanged between herself and employees with the City of Orlando. Ms. Holland, in her testimony, acknowledged that her use of the emails was a mistake. Recall that the emails we're talking about here were emails that were discovered in the public records request that the advocate referenced, and they were determined not to be public records because they were not dealing with city business. But again, they searched for all the emails that Ms. Holland would have sent dealing with Coastal Cloud. These are the extent of those emails. Ms. Holland stated that she does not use her Palm Coast email account for anything other than city business. And again, I think that's borne out by the exhaustive search that was done. However, she did inadvertently use her email, Palm Coast email account, to follow up on some previous discussions with the City of Orlando. The email exchange with the City of Orlando was only a few emails out of the thousands of city-related emails that she sent using her city account. What's important here is that the signature on the emails oftentimes is generated automatically without somebody putting on it. Just an example. This phone here has three emails account on it. It's got my firm email account. It's got my two personal accounts that I have. If I use this phone or an iPad or my personal computer and send something from my firm account, it's going to generate a signature, whether I do it personally and put it on there or not. And I have made mistakes from time to time, sent something from my personal account to a client, and sent some things from my email firm account to a personal email. So when you consider that reality, it's not necessarily a fact, as related to you, that she typed her name and address at the bottom. And as a result, We can't get to the point where every inadvertent and mistaken use of an email system turns into an ethics violation. Again, the facts here are that of the emails, the thousands of emails that were sent and searched, these are the ones relating to Coastal Cloud. That's the universe. It's also distinguishable from the Dustin Daniels case that you took up previously, where Dustin Daniels intentionally and deliberately sent those emails. These are emails that are inadvertently sent. With respect to Allegation 6, Allegation 6 is a statute that says because Ms. Holland was employed by Coastal Cloud, and based on all the other things that were thrown up in the complaint, most of which there was no finding of probable cause, you should find that there's a prohibited conflict. And that is not borne out by the evidence and the advocate's recommendation. First of all, the advocate's recommendation is grounded in that Ms. Holland's employment by Coastal Cloud presents a continuing or frequently occurring conflict of interest between her private interest and the performance of her public duties. The advocate makes this recommendation despite there being no evidence that Coastal Cloud is being regulated by the city of Palm Coast. There is no evidence that it's being doing business with the city of Palm Coast, notwithstanding the footnote he talked about, but the advocate wants to reserve that possibility. But there was no contract between Coastal Cloud and the city of Palm Coast. Nor is there evidence of any of Coastal Cloud receiving any compensation from the city of Palm Coast. And again, that's significant in terms of the issues under 112.3.137. She bases her recommendation, the advocate does, on the circumstances and allegations 1-5 to conclude there's a prohibited employment or contractual relationship. And these, reviewing the circumstances in allegations 1-5, it must be recalled that the advocate made a recommendation of no probable cause that Ms. Holland was doing business with the city of Palm Coast in violation of 112.3.137. Subsection 3, 4 statutes. A recommendation of no probable cause that Ms. Holland used her public position or public resources to benefit herself or her employer when emails were sent to two members of the Palm Coast City Council. A recommendation of no probable cause that Ms. Holland used her public position to influence the city of Palm Coast actions with respect to the Gardner study. That's allegation 4. And a recommendation of no probable cause that Ms. Holland was doing business with the city of Palm Coast in violation of 112.3.13 with respect to the hackathon, which is allegation 5. The only allegation of the 1-5 is the allegation number 2 with respect to the use of the emails to send to the Orlando folks, which we believe we have shown could very well be an innocent and inadvertent mistake with no corrupt intent. The allegations against Ms. Holland with respect to this particular allegation 6 are not borne out by the report of the investigation. The advocate's assertion that the temptation to place personal gain, economic or otherwise, above the discharge fiduciary duties to the public ascribed to Ms. Holland does not add up. I would suggest that the facts of this case are that there are no greater temptation to Ms. Holland presented in this case than any other public official who works for an employer that does business in their jurisdiction, and to any greater or lesser degree. To find probable cause in this case, I believe, would run contrary to the declaration of policy and legislative intent underlying the Code of Ethics. And that declaration of policy and legislative intent provides as follows. It is essential that government attract those citizens best qualified to serve. Thus, the law against conflict of interest must be so designed as to not impede unreasonably or unnecessarily the recruitment and retention of government, by government, of those best qualified to serve. Public officials should not be denied the opportunity available to all other citizens to acquire and obtain private economic interests, except when conflicts with the responsibility of such officials to the public cannot be avoided. In this case, those conflicts have been avoided. They were avoided by all the actions that Ms. Holland took to make sure that her actions were consistent with the code. Finally, a number of the allegations in this complaint have been investigated locally by
the city of Palm Coast. And in one of those reports, and it's referenced in the affidavit to that was provided to this commission by Matt Morton, the former city manager, the expert who reviewed the conduct said it's noteworthy that Ms. Holland's association with the Coastal Cloud was well documented and continually referenced by her political adversaries and by former employees of the city of Palm Coast, who appeared to be motivated to discredit Ms. Holland and the city manager for reportedly supporting Ms. Holland at or near the point of the respective departures from the city. That's what this case is all about. This case is all about trying to destroy the reputation of a good public servant. I don't say this often, but I'm going to say it today. I'm proud to represent Melissa Holland in this case. She's been vilified and attacked by political opponents to the extent that no individual, other than people on the national stage, are vilified and attacked. The report of investigation revealed no evidence of corruption against Ms. Holland, despite the chilling allegations by her political opponents in Palm Coast that corruption exists, that the governor told her to resign or he filed criminal charges against her, and that other opponents of Ms. Holland have said they've received confidential briefings from law enforcement about criminal charges that are pending. The state attorney's office and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement have denied those allegations. Again, I know my time is up. I appreciate your time, and I would ask you to accept the advocate's recommendation, accept with respect to allegations 2 and 6, reject those, and find no probable cause. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Herron. Are there questions of the respondent?
Commissioner Walden. Thank you, Madam Chair. So if I get your, I guess, the analysis, analogy, if she owned a landscaping business and she didn't do any business with the city, potentially there'd still be, the finding could be that she, at this point, that there's a continuing conflict just by doing that.
Well, obviously, Coastal Cloud's been a lightning rod in that community. Mm-hmm. And perhaps if you had a landscaping business that was a landscaping business that was subcontractors on a lot of city contracts, but were not in violation of the code, I think perhaps that same type of analysis, you might have the issue of, well, maybe there's a problem here under 112.317. My problem with 112.317 is, and I don't want to get on too much of a soapbox, because I know you have a long agenda, but this thing about an objective standard, in lawyer talk, that's heifer dust. It's whatever this commission says it is on a given day, okay? And temptation, where is temptation? Why is there a temptation in this case when there's not temptation in other cases?
Thank you. Are there other questions for the respondent? Thank you, Mr. Herron. Ms. Hadley and rebuttal.
I believe I have a minute and 40 seconds. I'm going to start with Allegation 6. To be clear, Allegation 6 doesn't require that there be a contract between the city and Coastal Cloud. If you look at the applicable law and elements that I have in the written recommendation, in the second analysis, it says respondent must have held an employment or contractual relationship, which is what occurred here for contractual employment relationship with Coastal Cloud. The case law is clear in case law is clear that Section 112.317 is intended to prevent situations, which is what the kind of situations that occurred in Allegations 1 through 5. As I acknowledged in my written and oral statements, she did not misuse her position, which is a separate statute and requires corrupt intent. However, as stated earlier, 7 is meant to prevent the situations that occurred. You will see throughout the report of investigation where employees stated she just did different things, trying to put Coastal Cloud ahead of other, be it sponsors in a hackathon, or just trying to manipulate things. Lastly, in Allegation 2, there were 3 emails. 1 might be a mistake. 3 starts to be intentional. Again, I asked for probable cause in Allegations 2 and 6, no probable cause in the other allegations.
Thank you. Any further questions of Ms. Hadley? Commissioner Carbajal.
Just so that I can clarify a few things on the second part. I know I asked you about the contract first. Advocating that your employer get better sponsorship or those things do not necessarily mean that they are in conflict with the public's interest, do they?
In this particular case, based on the testimony that I was provided, it appears that she was advocating for her client to, her employer to receive more benefits, and I'm using the term loosely, than the other sponsors, and I'm talking about the hackathon. So.
Well, what was the through the chair, what was the public interest that was compromised?
Well, it's not fair to the other sponsors. The other sponsors had the same rights to be.
Thank you.
Noticed and whatnot, based on what the report investigation says, and based on those employees who testified, who provided information or testimony, they said that she was trying to put her employer above all.
Madam Chair, I apologize. I'm going to make this comment in the discussion, but I want to give you the fair opportunity to help educate me, because you all have been very good in the process. I am moved by the fact that those of us who have other jobs bring all of ourselves to any particular role. And the fact that I work in government accountability doesn't mean that I shouldn't be able to bring that to this particular role, just like I would expect a lawyer to bring their talents to the table, an accountant or a financial advisor, and I would lean on their recommendations through this process. That doesn't automatically create a recurring conflict. Also, because we are public servants, we're not paid on the public dole, but we are faithfully discharging our public interest even when we're bringing our whole self here. What would you advise that I consider? Because I am moved by the fact that people have other jobs and can advocate for their employees as well as advise colleagues in formal roles without creating conflicts. Is there anything that you would tell me in that argument?
No.
Okay, I just wanted to be fair to you, so.
Any other questions from Ms. Hadley? Discussion. Is there a discussion
for a second?
Are you going to say that whole thing again?
I am not, because okay. I already said it, and I just wanted to give. But it is actually an important prelude. I feel pretty strongly about item six. I would be inclined to go against the advocate's recommendation. However, I would point out that on item two, regardless of it being inadvertent or not, it is still to some degree a violation. And you know, we are called on to do even more to protect the public. And I'm not moved by an inadvertent argument. We should be careful with our technologies or our arguments. So if I were to make a motion, I'm not at the moment. I would be against recommendation six as presented, but in favor of recommendation two. And I wanted to hear my colleagues.
Commissioner Cummins.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And, you know, not to regurgitate, a lot has been said by Commissioner Waldman and Commissioner Carvall. Commissioner Waldman, not only serve in the legislature, but also have some local government experience. I just think that allegation six is very concerning, just because, number one, who knows what the percentage of both legislators, particularly local government officials serving, have professional lives that temptation or risk is there every day. And to me, it's they shouldn't be held, while they should be held accountable for that, they shouldn't have an ethics, probable cause of an ethics violation just because that temptation, based on the arguments I've heard here today, or the temptation exists. It's what you do with that and how you conduct yourself. And obviously, there's a lot of other allegations that were found with no probable cause. So, I think that when you're in a community that, whether it's the local hospital, whether it's DOC, we've had some of those come before us, a state agency, a major employer, small employer, I think that's just concerning when, and quite frankly, not that we're here to to try to dictate who is attracted to public office and who's not, but I think that that's a slippery slope in terms of allegation six and in terms of a lot of people who may choose not to serve that are quite frankly very worthy public officials. I'll mention to you now, Chair, I'm from that region of Northeast Florida, and when I served in local government, Ms. Holland was a commissioner with Flagler County. Obviously, I was Clay County, so we didn't serve together, but obviously I know her acquaintance in that regard, but obviously doesn't affect my vote in terms of this, but it does allow me to relate to not only how she conducted herself and any interaction I have and being with the region in terms of a public official, but also just having some knowledge of this particular allegation. So I would share Commissioner Carver-Hall's feelings in regards to allegation six. Allegation two, not to get into that, I mean, clearly, once again, me serving the local government, having a professional life, it is somewhat easy that can happen, as obviously Mr. Heron said, where you can, use one email, it happens all the time. Obviously, that comes up through a lot of public record requests. We're trained as public officials not to to do that, be very, very careful, extremely careful. And so you have a lot of public officials don't even use their public account for anything, just so they don't ever, then that definitely dictates that that'll never happen again before. Obviously, in this case, Ms. Holland, who's mayor at the time, clearly, admitted what happened, admitted there was a mistake, it was inadvertent, and obviously this board just has to decide whether that passes muster in that regard. But anyway, thank you for your comment.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other comments or discussion? I have one, and it relates to the email. I do appreciate, understand, and acknowledge that those signatures, you auto-sign them. So I get that. However, conjecture that it was inadvertent, I read the detail and content of those emails and found them just full of references to the respondent's employment as mayor and referencing who she was meeting with in her public capacity, and those type of things clearly demonstrated to me, showing the recipient of the email that she was mayor and that that was a very salient point in her communication. So it may have been inadvertent, but to me, the content of the emails themselves indicate to me that it was not, that she very clearly wanted to bring home the point that she was mayor at the time. So I understand the concerns on item six, and I'm sort of on the fence on that one, but on two, I believe there certainly is probable cause. Commissioner Wong.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm in agreement in terms of allegation six. I think that it's not well-founded. I think there should be no probable cause for that. As to allegation two, concern I have with allegation two and kind of with what you just said, if she put in all that information about being mayor, then she wouldn't have needed to go and use this city email. So it certainly seems to indicate that it was inadvertent. Go ahead. Sorry.
She didn't say in the emails, "I am mayor." She said, "My second hat is with this consulting company." So never in the email does she say, "I'm mayor." She says, I'm meeting with the consulate later, and I look forward to, talks about her official capacity and working with the city of Orlando. So she doesn't say, "I'm mayor," because then I would agree that she wouldn't have to say she's mayor if she signs mayor. So she didn't do that. What she alluded to was very strongly, "I'm mayor. These are my dealings as mayor, and oh, by the way, I have this other company over here, that's my second hat." So that's how the email reads, which led me to believe that part of the purpose of the email was to strongly show her official position. So I, It's on the report of investigation. It's one of the first.
I thought that they did. The emails referenced the fact that she was stating that she was the mayor, The concern I have is, I know, and as I previously was an elected official, is and have private work. In some instances, in private work, I may have referenced the fact that I was a state representative, I was a mayor, I was a city commissioner, or whatever. And I don't want to get in that position where that's what we're finding, are people who are in elective office can't even reference the fact that that's what they do in their second job, third job, or maybe the first job.
I'm not inferring that's the case, but I am inferring that the email was not accidental. That use of that email was not accidental. That address was not accidental. That it was purposeful. That's how I got to my conclusion of that question. So, to me, intent matters.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know what happens with my phone, my email, if I'm doing it from this. And I don't know, of course, maybe she did it from her desktop. I don't know. But if she did it from her phone, sometimes it goes out on the wrong thing. I only have two email accounts, and sometimes it goes out, and my business will go out on my personal account. It always drives me crazy because then people respond back to my personal account, and I can't stand that. But it happens more frequently than I would like. So I see the inadvertence. I would support no probable cause on that allegation also, but clearly that's just me stating.
Any further discussion? Would anyone like to make a motion?
Madam Chair. I'd like to make a motion to accept the advocate's recommendation on recommendations 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7, and find also no probable cause on allegation 6.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. We've got a motion from Commissioner Carvajal, second by Commissioner Grant, to approve the advocate's recommendation with the exception of item 6 and find no probable cause on item 6. Did I state that correctly, sir?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Very good. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Show that motion approved. Thank you very much for coming.